God will continue to humble the mighty, the powerful. Those who seem insurmountable today, they will be humbled by God. And the humble, those who have nothing, those who seem to be worth nothing, those who view themselves as worth nothing, they will be exalted by God. And it does not take long to figure out that it is never about who the person is. It is never about who we are. It is always about who God is. How long have you had to wait for good news or any kind of news? I want you to think for a second, what is the longest you've had to wait for news that you were eagerly anticipating? You don't have to raise your hand and tell me. I'm kind of curious because I know for myself, I've had a few times where I've had to really wait intentionally and focus on when that good news was going to come. I tell you, when we were waiting for Anna to be born, it was driving me crazy. And of course, just like her mother, she was 3 days late. And oh, it was miserable. Miserable waiting for that child to be born. I'll tell you another story about waiting for news. My mother, if you have not met her yet, but my mother hates waiting, absolutely despises waiting for any kind of news. And, oh goodness, probably 20 years ago, she saw a movie. It was called Clear and Present Danger. I don't know if you've ever heard of that movie. It's one of the Tom Clancy, Jack Ryan movies. And throughout the whole movie, Jack Ryan, who's played by Harrison Ford, his wife is pregnant. And you watch the whole movie, and of course, there are a lot of gunfights and explosions and all that fun stuff. And then at the very end, the wife gives birth. And they're all in the hospital room, and the doctor says, "It's a," and then the credits start rolling. Absolutely drove my mother crazy. She couldn't stand it. And of course, she had to wait a couple years for the sequel to come out to find out that it was, well, I'm not going to tell you. But waiting for news like that is excruciating. And sometimes we just have to wait a few days or a few weeks, maybe a couple years if you follow movie franchises. Think about waiting for 400 years for good news. Now, just over 2,000 years ago, the people of Judah, of Israel, were waiting for good news. It had been about 400 years since God last spoke through one of the prophets. And when God spoke through the prophets, he had given them good news. Somebody is coming. Somebody is coming whom I have appointed, whom I have sent. He will redeem you. He will free you from your greatest oppressors. He will give you victory. He will restore to you what I have promised. And so these people waited, and they waited, and they waited 400 years. I don't think any of us would live that long to see that good news come to fruition. But after 400 years, when the good news finally did come, it came in a very unexpected way. In fact, it came through somebody that nobody would have expected. It wasn't somebody qualified. It wasn't somebody that was royal or educated or had social standing. No, God decided to speak when that Messiah came. God decided to speak to a young lady. Not just any young lady, Again, she wasn't royalty. There's nothing special about her. God decided to speak through a young lady living in the middle of Podunk in Judah. No education, no social standing, nothing particularly special about this young woman. But one day, the angel of the Lord, Gabriel, appeared to her and said, "Behold, I bring you good news. You are favored, for you will be the vessel of the Lord. You will be the one who will bear and give birth to the one that God has promised his people. The one for whom the entire nation has been waiting 400 years, and truly the one for whom creation has been waiting for thousands upon thousands of years to come and to restore it to what it used to be. He will be called a son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom, there will be no end." Now, what in the world is a girl to do with such news? We heard last week about Zechariah. He received news very similar, and what was his response? "Yeah, right. You're going to make my wife pregnant? And she's going to not just conceive any child, she's going to conceive the prophet that is supposed to precede the coming of the Lord. Yeah, where have you been?" Mary's response, though, is very different. She had just been told, get this, she had just been told that she is going to become pregnant out of wedlock in a very traditional place. So many of the carriers of God's word that preceded her protested when God had told them what he was going to do through them. So often they said, "You've got the wrong guy," or "You've got the wrong girl. I am not ready. I am not equipped. I cannot do this." Mary responds very differently. Even though she knows that there are negative consequences coming her way, many of them from the society that was going to be saved by her son. So this is Mary's response. She does what any artistic young person would do. She writes a song. So I'm going to read to you that song from Luke chapter 1. It says, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he has looked on the humble estate of his servant. For behold, from now on, all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown his strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the mighty from their thrones and has exalted those of humble estate. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and to his offspring forever." May the Lord surely add his blessing to the reading of his word. You see, this song is not sung by someone who expected something like this to happen, but by someone who is downright surprised that God would choose her of all people. God would choose her. So she sings of the goodness of God. She sings about how it is God alone who brings down the mighty, how it is God alone who exalts the humble, how it is God alone who chooses. And God has chosen her. God has chosen to look upon her in favor. She, for all intents and purposes, has won the spiritual lottery. She's been told, you will bear the Son of God. And her response is nothing but wonder. Who am I to receive such a blessing? Who am I to be looked upon by God with favor? That really is the question. Again, Mary had very little going for her. Every time I preach a sermon, I have Allison read through it for me and do some proofreading. She's really good at that. And she pointed out to me yesterday that I'm not doing Mary any favors. There's a good reason for that. Mary is not divine. Mary is human. Mary was human. Mary is human. Mary was sinful. She was fallible. And this is important for us to know because there is nothing about Mary that made her particularly worthy of God's choosing. There is nothing special about her that made God favor her. It was God alone in his sovereignty, in his divinity, that would choose somebody as humble as Mary. She was not royalty. She was not positioned in society so that a child of hers would have all the social standing that he would need or all the political advantages that he would need. She had nothing. And the child that would be born to her would have nothing. No advantages, nothing but weakness, nothing but humility. In Mary, we see somebody who realizes, and this is where it's important, we see somebody who realizes that she was not inherently worthy of such a great honor. She was not worthy of such a great responsibility to be bestowed upon her. She speaks first of her own humble estate, then of all people who are of humble estate. In essence, this word that Mary provides, it provides great contrast between the statuses of man and the person of God. See, Mary talks about those of high estate, those of low estate, but in all of that, she contrasts their fleeting nature with the eternal nature, the goodness of God Almighty, the power of God Almighty. See, this song is not about Mary. This song is about God, about who he is, about his goodness. This, I believe, is why Mary is so stunned. Does the Lord know who I am? Does he have any idea whom he has just called? I think so. But again, God has a reputation not for calling the equipped, not for calling the powerful, not for calling the people who have the education, who are the smartest, who are the most pious. God has a reputation for calling those that society has written off as invaluable, as outcasts, as those who are worthless. God has a reputation for choosing those people not just to redeem, but to be the vessels of his redemption, the vessels through whom he gives his word. So yes, Mary's question makes sense. Does the Lord know who I am? Does he understand that there are better, more qualified people, more candidates for this job than I? But she is not the first to process through such a question. Scripture shows us again that God chooses those people. So often, those people who had nothing else. Choosing the people that no one else would to do the things that no one else could. He chose them, he equipped them, he empowered them, and he prepared them for the trials they would face. See, when God chose Moses, we'll go back a little ways. When God chose Moses to bring his people out of Egypt, he was in exile in Midian with a possible speech impediment. God said, I want you to lead my people out of Israel. And Moses said, wait a minute, I can't even talk. How in the world am I supposed to lead well over 1 million people out of one of the most powerful nations in the world? How am I supposed to go before the most powerful king in the world and bring him this word? And God responds and says, I will empower you. I will give you what you need. You will go and you will be my voice. When God chose David to be king over his people, he was a scrawny little shepherd boy. Spent his time watching sheep. In fact, he probably spent more time around sheep than he did his own people. And yet God chose him and said, I will make this man king. Not just that, I will make this man my representative among his people. In fact, I will establish his throne forever through his offspring. Well, who is that offspring? Well, we're going to talk about him a little bit later. When God chose Isaiah, Isaiah stood before the Lord and was in awe and despair because he knew that he was a man of unclean lips, and yet God had called him to prophesy before the people of Israel. God had said, I want you to be my voice. You have nothing else going for you, but I'm going to touch this burning coal to your lips, and I'm going to give you the word of God to speak. And so here, when God chose Mary, Mary is right in asking the question, who am I? Who am I that God would choose me? She is right in asking that question, but at the same time, she's wrong in asking that question because it does not matter who you are. It matters who God is. You see, God tells her, I have chosen you. And I will do these things through you. I'm not asking you to do a thing. I am going to do these things through you. You are going to be my vessel. Through you, the word of God will be made flesh. Through your son, all of humanity will be redeemed. Doesn't matter who you are. It matters whose God is. All of these people that we just spoke about, they recognize their imperfection, their weakness, in contrast with the holiness of God. They understood that they had nothing to offer to the accomplishment of his plan. Yet he used them to change the nation and then later the world. You want to know some more of these people? Take a look at Hebrews 11. It gives us a type of faith hall of fame, if you will, listing off the many patriarchs, prophets, and kings, and describing what they did in the name of the Lord. Yet in each of their cases, it was not they who accomplished great things. It was God. I've been here in Terre Haute for roughly 6 months now. I've driven around this community, and it's easy to get overwhelmed. There's a lot of hurt here. There are a lot of people who need Jesus. There are a lot of people who are hurting. There are a lot of people who are depressed. There are a lot of people who just outright oppose God. And I can tell you right now, as a pastor driving through these streets, it is so easy to get overwhelmed. Lord, how am I to save all of these people? The irony. Because at that moment, God reminds me, Ryan, that's not your job. I did not call you because of how you were equipped. Ryan, I did not call you because you have an education. I did not call you because you can speak. I did not call you because of any of the other gifts that you have. I called you because of what I can do through you. So, of course, anytime I look around this community and get overwhelmed at all of the work that needs to be done, God comes to me and he says, I will do it. I will accomplish it. Think about what God has laid upon your heart to do. If you're sitting in one of these pews or one of these chairs, God has something that he has called you to do. Doesn't matter where you've come from, doesn't matter who you are, doesn't matter what your weaknesses are, doesn't matter what your strengths are. What matters is who God is. And if God has set out to do something through you, it is he who will give you strength. It is he who will give you words. It is he who will do it. He did it through Moses. He did it through David. He did it through Mary. And so when Mary sings this song, she sings in wonder. She sings in adoration because she knows, Lord, I cannot do this, but it is you who exalt the humble. It is you who tear down the proud, and it is you who will bring what you have said to fruition. Mary knew this as she sang. In fact, she makes quite the profound theological statement in this song. So much of her song speaks about drastic social change. That social change which is humbling the mighty and exalting the humble. One might even say this song was prophetic, considering the work that Jesus Christ had come to do. In fact, this song draws the attention almost completely away from the person and puts it squarely upon God, upon his sovereign choice. Who was Mary that she should bear the Christ? She was nobody. She was nobody special. She was a woman in a male-dominated society. She had no special skills or connections. But this song shows us how little those things truly mean. For it has always been the work of God to scatter the proud. It has always been the work of God to bring down the mighty from their thrones, and it will continue to happen. God will continue to humble the mighty, the powerful. Those who seem insurmountable today, they will be humbled by God. And the humble, those who have nothing, those who seem to be worth nothing, those who view themselves as worth nothing, they will be exalted by God. That is what this word says. Those who are humble, who look to God, will be exalted by God. Those who are mighty, who do not look to God, they will be brought low. God brought low Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, only to restore him once again when the king humbled himself and acknowledged the sovereignty of God. The proud, the powerful, the prideful, they will always be brought low in the presence of God. On the other hand, the humble will always be exalted in God's presence. Jesus Christ himself later said, whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and whoever humbles himself will be exalted. It's a recognition of who God is when we are in his presence. The only thing that Mary had going for her was a willing and humble heart that was open to God's work. This seems to be the only thing that God looks for when choosing his messengers. Not gifts and talents, but are you willing to do what he has called you to do? That's all. Are you willing to do it? the gifts, the talents, all that stuff, that's inconsequential because you will have the power of God on your side that will equip you, that will send you, that will empower you to do what he has called you to do. Everything else, don't worry about it. One need only look through the list of chosen people throughout the Bible, and it does not take long to figure out that it is never about who the person is. It is never about who we are. It is always about who God is. Who wouldn't sing a song of wonder after hearing that God had chosen me? Why wouldn't I be filled with awe to think about the fact that God has chosen me? Why wouldn't any of us be filled with awe to think about the fact that God has chosen us? God has chosen you. Be filled now with wonder at that thought that God has chosen you to do his work, just as he chose Mary. Do you remember the list of people who are commended for their faith, the list in Hebrews 11? Tell me who among them was eager or felt equipped in their own right to do God's work. Nobody. None of them was equipped. None of them was ready. To Moses, God gave not only a staff, but a symbol of his authority and divinity to bring down the mighty Pharaoh and his gods. To David, God gave victory out of the jaws of defeat and the promise of offspring whose throne would be established forever. To Isaiah, God gave the burning coal, the word, and the authority to speak it. In none of these cases was it the man who had something to offer God, but it was God who had something to do through him. What has God given us? What has God sent to us to empower us, to equip us to do his ministry? The Word of God tells us that he has sent his Spirit, his very presence, to dwell within us and to move through us, to give us in that very hour the words to speak. Don't you remember that it was that very same Holy Spirit that fills us? It was that very same Holy Spirit in the New Testament, at the beginning of the book of Acts, that healed the sick, that raised the dead, that preached to thousands and saw thousands come to faith in Christ. It was that same Holy Spirit that filled the apostles that now fills you. That is what God has given us. That is what God has equipped us with. And it's all because of what God had started 2,000 years ago through Mary. For Mary, God had something very special planned, and she knew it. God had looked upon her humiliation favorably, and God had decided to bring the Word made flesh into the world through her. And it was through that Word, Jesus Christ, that the humble would be exalted and the mighty brought low. Consider that since the time of Jesus, none of the powers that existed at that time still stand. The temple is gone. The temple in Jerusalem was destroyed. Rome, there is no Roman Empire. Just rubble, bricks, ruins. Memory of many of the Caesars exists only in textbooks for people who have enough time to read them. But the memory of Jesus, not just the memory of Jesus, the power of Jesus, is still at work today. The Caesars are gone. The priesthood of the temple is gone. But Jesus remains. The Spirit of God remains. If God can speak through the likes of Mary and through her child and bring the mighty low and raise up the humble, if God can speak through Mary or can through Mary and the child that she bore give sight to the blind, strength to the lame, healing to the lepers, hearing to the deaf, life to the dead, and good news to the poor, what can he do through you? By no means does this diminish the work of Jesus or even the faithfulness of Mary. Rather, it affirms what the Spirit of God has done through them, what the Spirit of God started through them, that has continued to this day. If God has done all of these things through Mary, if God has done all of these things through Jesus, what can he do through you? Be filled with wonder at the thought of what God can do through you. I mean, who are you? What do you have working against you? We all have our humble estate. Things that we might assume would disqualify us from God's service in one way or another. I'll get very personal for a second. For me, it's my health. It takes every ounce of strength for me to stand long enough to deliver a message. And even then, Allison can attest to this, it takes a lot more than the strength that I have to be able to stand here and deliver a message to you. I can't do it. But the Spirit of God does it. The Spirit of God strengthens my legs. The Spirit of God strengthens my tongue, my heart, my lungs, to speak the Word of God to you. And this is not to elevate myself. This is to talk about how God is powerful, how God is good. It is God who speaks to you. Whether it is me or Pastor Bob, it is God who empowers us to speak. What do you have working against you? I guarantee you, you got something. We've all got something. Think on your humble estate. What limitations do you have that any person might assume would preclude you from doing the work of God? Think carefully about those limitations for just a second. Focus really hard. Now forget about them. Cast them out. They don't matter. Mary spoke in wonder of who God is. She knew her limitations, but she knew even more the truth of God, the power of God. Let us be filled with wonder. We have limitations. We have things that we might assume would preclude us from the work of God, but forget about them, church. For it is God who will accomplish his work. It is God who will accomplish his will. If God can use Mary with all the disadvantages she had, he can certainly use you. God himself, when he took on flesh, was born in a humble estate. He was born in a barn with young animals. His first cradle was a feeding trough. His earthly father was a tradesman. Yet he embodied the word that would change the world. By the Spirit of God, Christ overcame weakness. By the Spirit of God, Mary overcame weakness. By the Spirit of God, the apostles overcame weakness. And by the Spirit of God, so can you. Who was Mary that God would look upon her humble estate? Who are you that God would look upon yours? We certainly are nothing. But we have value in the sight of God. We have work to do because God has chosen us to do it. If you are a part of the Church of Jesus Christ, you have work to do. And God has chosen you. Be filled with wonder. For who are we? Who are we that God would choose us? But then again, who is our God? who is our God. It is He who will accomplish His work. He did it through the prophets. He did it through the patriarchs. He did it through Mary. He will do it through you. Let us bow our heads in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we are so blessed to have been chosen by you. We are so blessed that you have found us worthy. So, Lord, we pray in this time that your will would be done in us, that we would humble our hearts, that we would be ready and filled with wonder at what you are preparing to do. We pray all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen.